ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ,
ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ,
ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ.
We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 20, and entitled Conversation Between Maitreya and Vidura, text number 24, and we will read 25 as well.
Tato hasansa bhagavan asure nirapatrapaihi anviyamanasa tarasa క్రుద్ధో భీత పరాపతత్ తదోహసంస భగవాన్ అసురే నిరపత్రవైః అన్నీయమానస్తరసా క్రుద్ధో భీత పరాపతత్ తదోహసంస భగవాన్ అసురే నిరపత్రపైః అన్వీయమానసస్తరసా క్రుద్ధో భీత పరాపతత్.
తతః దెన్ హసన్ లాఫింగ్ సహ భగవాన్ ద వర్షిపబుల్ లార్డ్ బ్రహ్మ అసురైహి by the demons, nirapatravaihi, shameless, anuyamanaha, being followed, tarasa, in great haste, krudha, angry, bhitaha, being afraid, parapatat, ran away. Translation: the worshipable Brahma first laughed at their stupidity, but finding the shameless asuras close upon him, he grew indignant and ran in great haste out of fear. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Sexually inclined demons have no respect even for their father, and the best policy for a saintly father like Brahma is to leave such demoniac sons. So it's a very short purport, just one line. So we will read next verse, text number 25.
Sa upavrajya varatam prapannarthi haram harim anugrahaya bhaktanam anurupatma darshanam. Saha, Lord Brahma, upavrajya, approaching, varatam, the bestower of all the boons, prapanna, of those taking shelter of at his lotus feet, arti, distress, haram, who dispels, harim, Lord Sri Hari, anugrahaya, for showing mercy, bhaktanam, to his devotees, anurupa, in suitable forms, atma darshanam, who manifests himself. He approached the personality of Godhead, who bestows all boons and who dispels the agony of his devotees and of those who take shelter of his lotus feet. He manifests his innumerable transcendental forms for the satisfaction of his devotees. Purport: here the word bhaktanam anirupatma darshanam means that the personality of Godhead manifests his multiforms according to the desires of the devotees. For example, Hanumanji, Vajrangji, wanted to see the form of the Lord as the personality of Godhead Ramachandra, whereas other Vaishnavas want to see the form of Radha and Krishna, and still other devotees want to see the Lord in the form of Lakshmi Narayan. The Mayavadi philosophers think that although all these forms are assumed by the Lord just as the devotees desire to see him, actually he is impersonal. From Brahma Samhita, however, we can understand that this is not so, for the Lord has multi forms. It is
said in the Brahma Samhita Advaitam Achyutam, the Lord does not appear before the devotee because of the devotee's imagination. Brahma Samhita further explains that the Lord has innumerable forms. Ramadi Murti Shukala Niyamena Tishtan. He exists in millions and millions of forms. There are 8,400,000 species of living entities, but the incarnations of the Supreme Lord are innumerable. In the Bhagavatam, it is stated that as the waves in the sea cannot be counted, but appear and disappear continually, the incarnations and form of the Lord are innumerable. A devotee is attached to a particular form, and it is that form which he worships. We have just described the first appearance of the boar within this universe. There are innumerable universes, and somewhere or other the Lord boar form is now existing. All the forms of the Lord are eternal. It is a devotee's inclination to worship a particular form, and he engages in devotional service to that form. In a verse in Ramayana, Hanuman, the great devotee of Ram, said, I know that there is no difference between the Sitaram, Lakshmi Narayan forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but nevertheless, the form of Rama and Sita are absorbed my affection and love. Therefore, I want to see the Lord in the form of Rama and Sita. Similarly, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas love the form of Radha and Krishna, and Krishna and Rukmini at Dwaraka. The word Bhaktanam Anurupatma Darshanam means that the Lord is always pleased to favor the devotee in a particular form in which the devotee wants to worship and render service unto him. In this verse, it is stated that Brahma approached Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This form of the Lord is Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. Whenever there is some trouble and Brahma has to approach the Lord, he can approach Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. And it is the grace of the Lord that whenever Brahma approaches about disturbances in the universe, the Lord gives him relief in so many ways.
ओम ज्ञानतिमिरान्तस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णाकरुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पदे गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते तप्तकाञ्चनगौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे भूतैर्महाद्भिः यैमा पुरो विभु निर्मायशेते यदमूष पुरुष भुङ्क्ते गुणान् षोडश षोडशात्मक सोऽलङ्कृषीष्ट भगवान् वचांसि मे हरे कृष्ण.
So here we are covering verses 24 and 25. 24 had a very short purport, just a one liner, and in 25 we can see a very beautiful purport by Srila Prabhupada. Here, in this canto, in this section, Brahma has created some demons, and now these demons are chasing after their own father, Lord Brahma. So at first, Brahma laughed at these demons, seeing their stupidity. But then he could understand that he cannot save himself by his own endeavor. And then he approaches the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. So here we can see a very important instructive lesson. So even Lord Brahma has problems. He has to face his difficulties. He's father of the universe. He has created all this living entity. Still, even he has to go through difficulties. So that is not something which is unusual. However, the most important thing is that what he does when he is in difficulty. So this is the most important lesson that we have to learn. So when we are in difficulty, we have to approach the Supreme Lord, his representatives, his instructions. So here we can see, as it is exemplified by Brahma, he is going to Lord Kshirodakshaya Vishnu and he is going to present himself before the Lord. Here, Srila Prabhupada is very much focusing on a particular line of this verse, that is Bhaktanam Anurupatva Darshanam. That is, the Lord has innumerable forms, and why do the Lord accept so many different kinds of forms? The Lord accepts these different kinds of forms because he wants to reciprocate with his devotees. So in the purport, we can see Srila Prabhupada is strongly criticizing the Mayavadi's presentation on the form of the Lord. The Mayavadi philosophers think that although all these forms are assumed by the Lord, just as the devotees desire to see him, actually he is impersonal. So this is the standpoint of Mayavadis. And Srila Prabhupada, of course, refutes these statements in his writings, not necessarily just in this purport, but in many of his purports in Bhagavatam, in Bhagavad Gita, in Sri Shopanishad. So here we can try to understand why these Mayavadis, why do they deny the form of the Lord? Point number one, it is because of lack of knowledge. What is that lack of knowledge? Because they don't have the understanding of spiritual form of the Lord. Since they don't know, they don't have the knowledge of the existence of spiritual form, they do deny the nature. They don't have the understanding of nature of the spiritual form. So if you don't even accept the spiritual form, then what to speak about nature of the spiritual form? So both the existence and nature of the spiritual form is denied by Mayavadis. Then, if you go further, we can see since they don't have that understanding, they cannot differentiate between the spiritual form and the material form. So they don't know the existence or nature of the spiritual form, and the only experience is with the material forms. Now if you try to see what's the nature of the material form is temporary by nature. And is there any form really associated with the material nature? Real form, in the sense a permanent form to material nature. Do we have a permanent form in the material nature that we can perceive? No, answer is no. Because the so-called forms that we are seeing is just temporary. It is illusory because it is temporary in that sense. So we perceive forms, but ultimately these forms are impersonal. Right? What happens to our body at the time of death? It actually disintegrates. Even ultimately we can see the time of liberation or going out from this material creation. If a jiva is fortunate enough to leave the material association altogether, still it is mentioned not just the gross body, even the subtle bodies like the mind, intelligence, false ego, all of them merge into the cosmic reservoir of all this matter. So everything is actually mixed to the reservoir of matter in the coverings of the material creation. So ultimately, if you see, the matter doesn't have any substantial form, even though it does exist temporarily. Second, so this is the understanding of the form. So when a Mayavadi ascribe a quality to the Supreme, they see there cannot be any form because there is no form in the material world which is lasting forever. Second, see the nature of this form. The nature of this form, meaning the material form, is that it is giving suffering in so many different ways, right? Like we get attracted to so many different kinds of forms. If you see, we are perceiving forms. Material existence means we are perceiving different forms, and as a consequence of that, we are creating different mental images, and we are creating so many desires based on these forms. Is it right? Think about that. Forms in different forms. It can be human beings, it can be animals, it can be gadgets, it can be other facilities, but form has such a deep impression in our consciousness. You know, we usually say, you know, out of sight, then out of the mind, right? So it's the same thing, because the form has such a deep impression in our consciousness, and that can spark so many different kinds of desires to our mind. And what is the end result of these desires? Or for a materialist, usually, okay, we have more desires, it's better. We can fulfill, at least we can try to fulfill so many desires. So that is a whole material endeavor, and that is a whole material existence. But a jnani has already realized that material endeavors and material existence is causing suffering. So that much realization he has. So he doesn't want to indulge in material existence. So the best way to get out from the material existence is to, one aspect is, part of their knowledge, is to deny forms. So, okay, the form, material form is giving problem, and it is temporary, it is illusory. So the ultimate should have the qualities which is exactly opposite. So we have form here and the material existence. So the spiritual existence means there shouldn't be any form. So this is the basic logic of Mayavad philosophy, the denial of forms. So neti neti. So it is said in the Upanishadic approach of searching after the absolute is by the method of rejection. Neti. Neti means na iti. This is not. Say for example, we see a form and this form is creating me trouble. So I see a good car, you know, an Audi, very expensive. See, oh, now I want that car. So for that, I am ready to dedicate my life to work for another 30 years. So they understand, okay, this is a problem. So in the spiritual existence, you know, I don't want any kinds of forms. So they do deny. So this is the logic of neti, na iti. So he says, okay, matter is not the reality, so spirit must not have a form. And since they already have come to this conclusion, so whenever they read Shastra, their reading of Shastra just backs up their point of view. So this point of view, whatever is in the mind, we try to justify that. Often it is said that people don't really make rational decisions. Okay, often we do think like that. We are very intelligent. We think logically, and we do make decision very rationally, very intelligently. But many psychologists have studied, and they come to the conclusion that usually people like something, and after that they rationalize. So mind accepts something first. That is the job of the mind. They accept or reject. Fine, either side of the coin. But they accept or reject, and the rationale come later. So whatever need to substantiate, they come later. So this is a very important point even in our preaching. For example, if the non-devotees, if they start liking devotees, and if they start liking chanting or any aspect of the philosophy, anything about Krishna, anything about Krishna consciousness, if they start liking, that's a big success. Because whatever is logic is required to support that liking, that will be generated automatically. So it's our important point in our preaching that it doesn't really matter that how logically we present, but if the karmis, if they like us, then the job is done. Then we don't need to really worry about the rationale behind everything. That'll follow. So here, this is the nature of the mind. And of course, when we take this point, so Shastra, when they read Shastra, even though very clearly it is mentioned about the form of the Lord, they cannot accept. Even if Krishna says, Aham sarvasya prabho, matta sarvam pravartati. Krishna is telling, I am the source of both material and spiritual creation. Still, the Mayavadis, even after reading that, they cannot accept that. They, you know, what is this? You know, it's something strange. We cannot accept this, so they bring the whole system of logic to support this, support their statement. That's why in impersonal presentation of the philosophy, they need a lot of logic. Because it is not direct. To support whatever they are saying, they need to be, you know, explaining in so many different ways. For example, Shankaracharya, he has written a commentary on Bhagavad Gita. Okay, in his commentary on Bhagavad Gita, it is interesting to know that how can he refute the personality of Godhead? But his job was to refute the form of the Lord. Okay, so whenever Krishna says "Aham," it's very confronting, isn't it? Krishna is saying, I am the Lord, I am the Master. So how can you deny that? So he had to use his logic to deny that. And what was the logic? He said, when Krishna says "Aham," I, that I includes us also. You understand? So that is his logic. "Aham" includes us also. So in that way, we are all one. You know. So this is a clever way of twisting to present something which is not right. Now another question can come. So the impersonalists have difficulty in differentiating between the spiritual form and the material form. They don't have, because they lack knowledge. And when we see the deity form of the Lord, is it an imagination? Or even painting of the Lord, is it just an imagination? Or is it reality? Even devotees may come to this question, because many few devotees asked Srila Prabhupada this question. When we see different deities of the Lord, Krishna is looking completely differently, isn't it? You see different paintings of Krishna and Radharani and other devotees, they are all looking different. So what is the real form of the Lord? It's a very, very genuine question, right? So is it, we may think, is it an imagination, is it a speculation, the form of the Lord? The Srila Prabhupada answered in a very interesting way. Prabhupada said, when you go to the spiritual world, this understanding is enough, you will be able to identify Krishna at the first sight. So this was the answer of Srila Prabhupada. He said, you can understand Krishna who is. Now, let's try to understand the form of the Lord. Is it just speculative? Because in one point, one could see it is an imagination of an artist. When we see the form of the Lord, it's an imagination of an artist, of a painter, of a sculptor, or anyone who is just doing this work. So is it just an imagination? The point is, no, it is not just an imagination. Okay, at the time of, because the deity becomes deity when? Only when the deity is installed. That is the proper procedure. It is explained in Sri Isha Upanishad how the matter gets transformed into spirit. One aspect of this transformation of matter into spirit is well known to us, and we are very much attached to that, and that is bhoga. When it's offered to Krishna, it becomes prasadam. And we know the end result of prasadam. We are enlivened by prasadam, right? Today also we are waiting for prasadam. So that is there. That transformation of matter to spirit is very well known, and we do experience. In the same way, there is a transformation of matter from matter to spirit. So that is the point of installation of the deity form of the Lord. Okay. Now, so we can see the matter is transformed into spirit. And what is the proof? If we pray to the Lord in the deity form, we get reciprocation from the Lord. If we serve the Lord instead of material thoughts, mind get transformed to spiritual thoughts. Right? Just start seeing the beautiful form of Sri Sri Radha Vallabha. Then even if you go out, if you see all different kinds of material things, suddenly thoughts of Radha and Krishna will come to the mind. This is a proof. Instead of material thoughts, the mind will have spiritual thoughts. So this is transformation. Same with the holy name, right? Holy name, it's not about the form, but it's a sound representation. It is the form in the sound. It is apparently material. Apparently material. If you see the Sanskrit alphabets, it is material, right? Alphabets, A, B, C, D. Whatever, it's in Sanskrit, it is just material. Sound vibration is material. However, the holy name is not material. It is completely spiritual. Even if one chants accidentally, in a joking way, or in a deriding way, still one gets the benefit. See the potency of holy name of Krishna. So this is the power. The same question was asked in the 87th chapter of 10th canto. Vedas are ultimately just sound vibrations. And sound vibration means it is coming from our mouth. Right? And what does that mean by coming from our mouth? It means it is just material. It is just matter. It is in the sound form, but it is matter. then how can that sound give us liberation from the clutches of matter? Then the personified Vedas, they answer that the Lord is omnipotent. He has all the potency. He has inconceivable potency. So in such a way that even though apparently the Vedic sound looks like matter, made of matter, it has all the potency to deliver the conditioned souls. So within the matter, the whole spirit can manifest. Just like the deities, just like the holy name. So here we can see the inconceivable potency of the Supreme Lord. So yes, the deity form of the Lord is completely spiritual. They do reciprocate. Then how about the infinite beauty of Krishna? We do see some beauty of Krishna in the deity form of the Lord. But how the infinite, unlimited beauty of Krishna can we see in the form of Krishna? For example, Srila Rupa Goswami, he writes, Smeram Bhangitraya Parichitam Sachi Vistirna Drishtim. He says, see the threefold bending form of Krishna. It's so beautiful. And he recommends, if you still want to maintain attachment to your family, to your materialistic friends, please don't go in front of Krishna in the form of the deity in Keshikat. If you do go, then all your material connections are finished. So this is the attraction Rupa Goswami had for Govinda in Keshikat. So we may feel we have some attraction for Krishna, we may have some appreciation for the beauty of Krishna, but is that unlimited beauty? The point is, yes, the deity form of Krishna has unlimited attractive power, is unlimitedly beautiful, but we can perceive only if we develop our consciousness. Depending on our consciousness, we can see the beauty of the Lord. So year after year, this is the progression in bhakti. We are seeing the same deities, probably the same sets of cloth the Lord is wearing in a similar style. But think about seeing Radha Vallabha one decade before and now, or you know, whatever time you had here. You can see that as years are passing, you can see the beauty of the Lord is increasing. Why the beauty of the Lord is increasing? Oh, in one sense, yes, the beauty of the Lord is increasing because Krishna's beauty is ever increasing. That is one point. Second point is that our consciousness is getting purified. So the more our consciousness gets purified, we become more attracted to Krishna. The same form of Krishna. So this shows the form of the Lord is completely spiritual. Now, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we can see in the pastime, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's mentioned, you know, Pratima nahi tumar sakshat Brajendra Nandana. You are not just a statue. You are directly Vrajendra Nandana. You are the son of Nanda Maharaj Krishna. That is the deity form of Krishna. So the Lord is present in the deity form and he is complete. He can reciprocate with his devotees. And that comes to a very important point in this purport. That is Bhaktanam Anirupatma Darshanam. Bhaktanam Anirupatma Darshanam means the Lord appears in front of the devotee in the most suitable form to reciprocate. Can you see that the Lord appears according to the mood, according to the desire of the worshipper, the Lord appears. That's a very important point. Here, the Mayavadis may think, so does that mean that a devotee imagines some form of the Lord would appear in that form? Is it just based on imagination? So I will quote a verse from the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the same canto in the 21st chapter, where Kardamumini performs austerities to fulfill his desire and the Supreme Lord appears. It's a very interesting. When I read that purport quite a few years back, it was very striking. So when I was looking at this thing, I thought, okay, it's a very important point. Here, I'll just read that verse. I'll read just the translation. Then in the Satyuga, the lotus-eyed Supreme Personality of Godhead, being pleased, showed himself to the Kardamumini and displayed his transcendental form, which can be understood only through the Vedas. So here, in this purport also, in this 321.8, Srila Prabhupada gives very important point to, important stress to, Shabda Brahma, Kshatam Shabda Brahma Dasat Vapuhu. So it's a very important point that Srila Prabhupada says, a devotee doesn't just imagine. The form came in front of, appeared in front of Kardamuni was the form which was described in the Vedas, in the Shabda Brahma, in the Vedic literature. So here, a devotee doesn't have to imagine in that sense. A devotee, as he progresses in bhakti, the actual form of the Lord is revealed through Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. Right? We can understand different form of the Lord through Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. Is right? We don't need to imagine. So here is the point. And that form, when one is qualified, appears in front of himself or herself. This is the point. So the Lord makes an arrangement such that a devotee actually understands what is the real form of the Lord and what are the descriptions of the form of the Lord. So bhakti process is not lacking knowledge in any way. So the knowledge will be given so that he doesn't have to speculate. Even apparently one is illiterate, still the real form of the Lord will be revealed to him. We will see a pastime. I was thinking about when this the whole purport when I read, suddenly one pastime came to my mind, and today I will discuss that pastime, part of that pastime. So here, it's a very important point that the devotee doesn't have to speculate, and the same verse is supported again in the third canto, a few chapters before, by Lord Brahma. It's a very important verse because it is quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita also. Tom bhakti yoga paribhavita hrsaroja aase shrudekshita padho nanunatha pumsam yad yadhiya ta urugaya vibhavayanti tattat vabu pranayase sadanu grahaya. Exactly the same point that is mentioned in this verse. Yad yadhiya ta urugaya vibhavayanti tattat vabu pranayase sadanu grahaya. Yad yadhiya, whatever form, okay, yad yadhiya ta urugaya vibhavayanti. Urugaya means the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who can perform Herculean activities. His whichever form one meditate, one desires to see, yat yat dhiya ta urugaya vibhavayanti tat tat vabhu pranayase. You see, yat yat and tat tat. So whatever he wants, the same, tat tat vabhu pranayase. He manifests in the self same form according to the desire of the devotee. Sad anugrahaya. Why he comes? Because of compassion for his devotee. So this verse and this particular line of this verse is very important. And Brahma, this is narrated by Brahma in the prayers to creative energy, prayers for creation, because now the creation is taking place. So before the creation, Brahma had approached the Supreme Lord. So there, this verse is coming. Yat yat dhyata urugaya vibhavendi tat tat vabhu pranayase sadanugrahaya. And what for that, what kind of devotion one requires? It is mentioned. Yet bhakti yoga paribhavita hrsaroja. Paribhavita bhakti. Paribhavita bhakti means full engagement, full absorption in Krishna consciousness. With that devotion, then the Lord actually manifests himself in the heart of the devotee, which is compared to a lotus flower. Ase shrutekshita patho. And how a devotee understands about the Lord and the form of the Lord? Shruta ikshita padho. He sees the Lord by ikshita, by hearing. So our process is shruta ikshita padho. We are seeing by hearing. So this is very important. And this verse is quoted in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita because just now we had the appearance of Mahaprabhu. So it is in connection to the prayers of Advaitacharya. Advaitacharya offered Ganges water and Tulasi leaves to his Saligram Shila and prayed for the appearance of the Lord. He cried loudly for the appearance of the Lord in the form of Mahaprabhu. And the Lord heard and the Lord appeared in the self-same form. Whatever Advaitacharya prayed for, the same form descended from the spiritual sky to the material world. There, Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami, he refers to this verse. We can see clearly, clear connection. Whatever was the desire of the devotee, the Lord reciprocated in the suitable form. It's a very important point, in the suitable form. And in this whole purport is dedicated to that point. That according to different bhav, according to the different mood, devotees may have different preferences of worship, and the Lord is ready to accept that form and appear and reciprocate to that devotee. Why is it so? Because in different forms, the Lord can reciprocate in different ways. Many people ask this question, why the Lord has many forms? One Supreme Personality of Godhead, one form. Why he has Narasimha form? Why he has Vamana? Why he has Varaha, Kurma, Matsya? Why he has so many different kinds of forms? And as the purport says, unlimited forms. Just like the waves in the number of waves in the ocean. How many? We don't know. We can't count. So many things. But the Lord is ready to come and ready to reciprocate. So the answer to the question, why the Lord has many forms? Because even his pure devotees has unlimited desires, spiritual desires, and the Lord wants to reciprocate. And for that, he has multifarious forms. And if it is not so, what happens? A devotee can be dissatisfied, spiritually dissatisfied. So a devotee needs, an advanced devotee especially, needs reciprocation from the Lord in a particular way, in a particular form, because that is his constitutional position, it is constitutional nature. So I will take to the example to this, narrate a pastime from Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So Brihad Bhagavatamrita is the work of Sanatana Goswami. And in that Brihad Bhagavatamrita, there are two parts to it. In the second part, which narrates the pastime of Gop Kumar, we can very clearly see how this dynamics work. That is how a devotee wants to see the Lord in a particular way. So Gop Kumar was born in Govardhan. He was son of a cowherd. He was a cowherd boy. So he was just playing around. He was doing cowherding job. And he was just wandering, playing flute in Vrindavan, in Govardhan. And one day, I won't say the whole pastime, just a snippet of the whole pastime. So he was, as he was wandering in Govardhan, in the forest, he happened to see a Brahmana who was very exalted. He was always chanting names of Krishna. Sometimes he would dance, sometimes he would cry. And he paid a lot of respects to these cowherd boys. Whenever Gopakumar, along with other cowherd boys, he roams around that place, this Brahman was so attached, he may sometimes glorify them, pay obeisances unto these cowherd boys. And he would just go and embrace and kiss these cowherd boys. So this Brahmana was so attached to these cowherd boys. So Gopakumar passed his time like that. And one day, as Gopakumar was walking alone in the forest, this exalted Brahmana called Gopakumar and told him, look, I want to give you the greatest fortune ever possible in this world, because by this you can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord of the universe, face to face. You can get his association. You can serve him personally. He said, you go to Keshikhat, you take bath and you come. So Gopakumar did so. And then this Brahmana instructed 10-syllable Gopal mantra to this Brahmana. To Gopakumar. So Gopakumar heard carefully this mantra and he understood, and the Brahmana instructed his spiritual master, his name was Jayanta, he instructed him, you chant this mantra daily. However, immediately after this happened, this Brahmana, he became ecstatic and his mood completely changed. He felt separation from the Lord and he went into trance. When he came out from trance, he didn't speak a word. He just got up and walked away. So Gopakumar got some understanding of this mantra, but he didn't have much understanding of this mantra. He knew that he had to chant this mantra every day. Just like if we get the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we are instructed to chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra every day in the same way. Gopakumar started chanting this mantra privately, because it's a secret mantra, so he started chanting this mantra privately to himself every day. So here, one interesting point is that Gopakumar doesn't know much about Gopal. So as we see the progression of this pastime, his worshipable Lord is Gopal. But this Brahmana hadn't given any information about Gopal, nor about his activities. But as the pastime unfolds, we can see that Gopakumar gets realization of the form and activities of the Lord. From the name, form, qualities and activities will be revealed to Gopakumar. So a devotee, even though like a simple boy like Gopakumar, He didn't have knowledge. He didn't study Shastra. He didn't hear discourses at this stage. But eventually these things will be revealed. And one important point, how these things will be revealed? He has his travel in the earthly planets into all other planetary systems. So he has his travel. He goes and he meets devotees everywhere, and everywhere he worships different forms of the Lord. Never he gets satisfaction because he can't meet Gopal. So finally, when he returned to Mathura, he met with different Brahmanas where he heard Bhagavatam and other scriptures. So where he understands more about Gopal. And later he gets a realization of Gopal and his activities. So see, a simple boy like Gopal, like Gop Kumar, he didn't know anything about the Lord, but it's just a matter of his journey. He understands about the Lord. The Lord makes arrangement in such a way that he knows more about the form, qualities and activities of the Lord. And in all his journey, he continues chanting the secret mantra. In fact, he goes to all the different layers of the... First, he goes through all the... travels through the earth planet. He goes to Jagannath Puri. He goes to different kingdoms. Then he goes to all the planetary systems. He worships the Lord in all different ways. Finally, he goes to Brahma Jyoti. Then he goes to the Shiva Loka. So he goes to... He makes a whole travel. And finally, he gets to Vaikuntha Loka. So I'll just describe the pastime, what took place in Vaikuntha Loka, where Gopakumar had an innate attraction for the Lord in the form of Gopal, and he reaches Vaikuntha Loka. So we can see he was chanting. This mantra had all the potency that whatever he wishes, this mantra would give. And there was a special blessing given by his spiritual master that whenever he wishes something by chanting this mantra, that will take place immediately. Usually it is mentioned when we chant a mantra, the ultimate desire, the ultimate objectives of this chanting, say for example, if you want to go to the spiritual world by chanting Hare Krishna mantra, that will be fulfilled at the end of the life. Not in this lifetime, but at the end of this lifetime. However, for Gopakumar, it was different. By special blessing of a spiritual master, whenever he chants his mantra, this Gopal mantra, and when he wishes something, that will take place in this lifetime and pretty soon. So he was in Mathura and he was started chanting this mantra, and he wanted to go to the abode of the Lord. Immediately, Vaikuntha Dutas came in Pushpak Viman. And they took Gopakumar and they took him to the Vaikuntha Loka. So it was just a matter of time. He understood he was traveling through all the layers of the universe. He was passing through Brahma Jyoti. He was passing through Shiva Loka. And finally he is at Vaikuntha Loka. As he entered Vaikuntha Loka, the Vishnu Dutas, they said, you wait here. Before entering to the palace of Narayan, first we have to take permission. So he went, the Vishnu Dutas went, they went to take permission. So as Gopakumar was waiting, he saw a four-handed form coming. He had Shankha Chakra Gada Padma. He was garlanded very beautifully. He had a bluish complexion. He was just coming in a plane and entering the Vaikuntha Loka. So when Gopakumar saw that, immediately he paid obeisances again and again. And he thought, Vishnu, the Lord Narayan himself had come. So he wanted to pay obeisances. And he said, O Lord, my life's mission is successful now because I have seen you personally. Immediately, this four-handed form actually came out from this Viman. And he said, please, he closed his ears and he told, please don't call me Lord. I am not the Lord. I am only a servant. I am only a servant of the servant. So Gopakumar thought, oh, so he's not actually the Lord. He's only a servant. He waited for some more time. Then he saw another personality coming in four-handed form with all the paraphernalia. And he was even more beautiful. And he was even more attractive. So he thought, this time, this is the Lord. So he actually fell flat at the feet of this personality. And he started praying. And the same way, this personality also told, I am not the Lord, I am only a servant. Please glorify the Lord, not me. He also went. So as he waited, few personalities like this came in. And now, our Gopakumar got confused. Who is the Supreme Lord really? Because everyone is looking alike. And he couldn't find, he was in awe, what's going on really? Then finally, it was interesting, someone took Gopakumar and took him to the Lord of the universe. So he went to in front of Narayan. There was Lakshmi Devi was there, Rama was there, and Dharani was there. That is usually Sri Devi and Bhu Devi. These are the two consorts of the Lord. One was preparing, you know, the pan, what do you call, betel nuts, and giving to the Lord. And the Lord was eating very nicely. He was chewing upon that. So the whole scene was going on. All his personal associates like Garuda, Vikshuksena, all of them were there. So he saw the Lord, and as he saw the Lord, he became ecstatic. Gopakumar became ecstatic and he fainted because he couldn't handle the beauty of the Lord. Then after some time, the devotees tried to pacify him. Gopakumar came out of trance and he looked at the beautiful form of the Lord and he started running. He started calling, "Gopal, Gopal." As he was started running and he wanted to embrace the Lord because he had that natural affection for the Lord in the form of Gopal. So he wanted to embrace Lord Narayan, but all the devotees, they went to Gopakumar and pulled him. He said, "No, you cannot do that. He's the king, he's the Lord. You cannot just go and embrace the king. He's the supreme Lord, but you cannot embrace him." So Gopakumar felt a bit uncomfortable because it is mentioned that in his dreams, you know, in his meditations, he would embrace the Lord. He had such an intimate relation with Gopal, but in Vaikuntha, he couldn't do that. So he felt a bit restrained and he felt a bit embarrassed. However, the Lord was very happy. It's mentioned that Lord Narayan, he became so happy seeing Gopakumar. So even though it's a different form of the Lord that he's worshipping, still, Lord Narayan, he's the Supreme Lord, he became so happy seeing Gopakumar. He said to Gopakumar, "I am so fortunate that you have come to Vaikuntha Loka." He said, "I have waited so many births of yours. And in each birth, I would think that in this birth, this Gopakumar is going to come to me." He said, "I was just like a madman. And I was just like a puppet, you know, dancing, thinking, this birth, this boy is going to come to me. And I waited for so many of your births, but still you didn't come. Finally, I had to even transgress my own laws and I had to bring you here. That's why I came in the form of a spiritual master. That was myself. That was Jayanta, your spiritual master, the Brahmana you found in Govardhan. That was actually myself. I came in the form of the spiritual master and I gave you the mantra. And finally, you are here. My life is now completely, my life's mission is completely satisfied." This was the statement of Lord Narayan. So Lord Narayan felt so happy seeing Gopakumar. And then he encouraged Gopakumar. He said, "You come to my assembly, you start playing flute." Because Gopakumar always had a flute. He had a pagadi, he had a belt, you know, he had all the cowherd form. So he said, "You know, you play flute in my assembly." So Gopakumar would go, he will play flute, he will entertain everyone. So that was going on for some time. But he understood, sometimes the Lord want to be with Lakshmi Devi, then all the other devotees are escorted out from the palace. So he felt a bit remorseful, or what's discomfort, that is, you know, what's really going on? You know, I want to be with the Lord, but I can't be with the Lord. Then some of the Vaikuntha Vasis, he started saying, "Why are you calling Gopal Krishna like that? Actually, it is true that Lord Narayan had appeared in the earthly planet. He killed Kamsa. Actually, he assumed all these forms because of his illusory energy. It's actually illusory form. Usually, you should follow the Lord Narayan's real form that you can see here. Why are you following these illusory forms of the Lord?" And some of them said, "Why are you calling the Lord and you are offering different kinds of prayers from your heart? Rather, you should follow the standard set of prayers that are prescribed here." But some devotees who were more advanced, they said, "No, actually the form of Krishna and Vaikuntha, in the form of Vaikuntha, they are actually same. So even if he calls the name of Krishna, it's okay." So when he heard all these kind of things, Gopakumar felt a bit uncomfortable. Hey, what's really going on here? I want to see Gopal, but I'm not really able to see Gopal. In his meditation, Gopal would come, he will embrace him, Gopal would kiss him. He would have very intimate dealing with Gopakumar. So everything was happening by the strength of this Gopal mantra. But he said, Now I cannot do anything to Narayan. I am feeling a bit restrained. And then he started rationalizing his situation. He thought, actually I shouldn't think in this way. Why? Because I am in the Vaikuntha, it's the supreme abode. And here there is no matter, everything is spirit. Everything is Satchidananda Vigraha, so I shouldn't think in this way. I should be happy being here. And he got some intimate service. He was playing flute for the Lord. He was fanning the Lord. So he got good association of the Lord. But still, his hankering was going on. Sometimes, the Lord would go away. So Gopakumar was very unhappy. I cannot see the Lord. I want to serve the Lord. He couldn't see the Lord. So he would ask other senior Vaikuntha Vasis, where is Lord now? So they wouldn't disclose. They would keep it confidential. So that was the norm, you know, not that everyone would know what's happening to Lord Narayan. So he would keep that in confidence, and Gopakumar felt very uncomfortable. And when he was very, very uncomfortable, suddenly the Lord would appear in front of him. And then Gopakumar, he would become very happy. But after some time, the Lord would disappear. So he was going through a wave of happiness, ecstasy and sorrow, of being with the Lord and being in separation from the Lord. And sometimes he would see the Lord Narayan with all his associates. Then he would be seeing son of Nanda Maharaj, Krishna. Suddenly he will be seeing Radharani. Suddenly he will be seeing Chandravali. Suddenly he will be seeing Yashodama. So he started seeing everyone else. Sometimes the Lord will be wandering in the garden. Then Gopakumar would see Gopal running around in the forest of Vrindavan. So he had these kind of visions. So he was unable to fix his mind on Narayan. So one day, Gopakumar saw Narada Muni, and Narada Muni understood what's going on. So Narada Muni told, okay, come along, we will have a chat. Just like when we have some problem, some senior devotees will give us counsel in the same way. Narada Muni told Gopakumar, you come along, we will have a chat. So Gopakumar told all his problems. Who was he? How he came here? All his journey. Then Narada Muni also glorified Goloka Vrindavan. He said, it is actually beyond the reach of even my thoughts. But you are very fortunate that you are very much attracted to Goloka Vrindavan. Because before, some of the Vaikuntha Vasis told Gopakumar, why do you have this Gopa form? You have a pagadi, you have a beautiful garland, and you know you have a dhoti, you have a cowherding stick, you have a flute. It is just specific to cowherd boy. Now you should actually assume a four-handed form. If you really want to enjoy the pastimes in Vaikuntha, you should give up this form and you should accept a four-handed form. And it is within your reach. Whatever you desire in Vaikuntha Loka, you can get. All the mystic potencies that you have. Everything you have. You just desire that I want a Vaikuntha form, I want a four-handed form. Immediately you can get a form. But Gopakumar, he denied because he had such a natural attraction for the form of the Lord and his own form, because through that form he can worship the Supreme Lord. So now again, Narada Muni appreciated, yeah, you have such an attraction for Gopal. And he said, it is very, very difficult to get to Goloka Vrindavan. It is even beyond my thoughts. That was the point Narada Muni was making. You know, I can't go to Goloka Vrindavan. In that mood, Narada Muni was presenting in front of Gopakumar. Then finally, the next abode after Vaikuntha Loka is Ayodhya. So Narada Muni advises Gopakumar to go to Ayodhya. So there, exactly the same way the pastime continues. I'm not getting into that pastime. But there again, he has his initial attraction, initial excitement. Then he will be engaged in the service. Then again he will feel dissatisfied because he is not seeing the form of the Lord he wants to worship. In the same point, yet yet dhya ta urgaya vibhavendi tatat vabu pranayase sadanugrahaya. Finally, unless and until finally he reaches Goloka Vrindavan, and when he sees Gopal, not even in Dwaraka. So this is the point. So here is exactly the same point. A devotee will develop attraction for a particular form of the Lord. So for us, if you think about ourselves, we may not have an attraction for a particular form of the Lord. That too in a particular leela or in a particular age. Not necessarily in a balya, pavaganda or kaishora. We may not have that kind of an attraction. But it is a matter of time. So we are worshipping Radha and Krishna here. And it's a matter of time. One develops attraction. As one progresses, one develops attraction for a particular form of the Lord. And not only that, one develops attraction for a particular kinds of pastimes of the Lord as well. And depending on that, one's rasa and one's eternal relationship of the Lord is manifested, that is developed. So that is a devotee's journey. So for us, we don't need to worry too much about which form of the Lord is more attractive at this point in time and speculate based on that, because that is just the mind. If you are talking about attraction for a particular form of the Lord and the development of rasa or our relation to the Lord eternally, that happens only in bhava. That particular attraction, the realization of that attraction, that only manifests in the stage of bhava. At the same time, in higher stages, in ruchi and asakti, one can develop that kind of an attraction, but it is actually realized completely in the stage of bhava. So it's a very advanced stage. So for the time being, we don't need to really worry about, but we need to see what are the objectives. There's nothing wrong, or we need to understand what's the objective of worship. We need to understand Radha Krishna. We need to understand all this pastime. We need to read Bhagavatam. We need to understand the objective, the prayojana, so that a sadhaka slowly develops attraction to that prayojana. So I stop here and see if there are any questions or comments. Yeah, first deity of Krishna was made by Krishna's grandson. Yeah, Vajranap. Vajranap was the, he, not one, he made a few sets of deities of Krishna. And I cannot remember all the names. Anyone remember the names of those deities? So initial deities were made by Vajranap, Krishna's grandson. Yeah. Yes, still there. Yeah, so that's not the problem with the deity. The attraction, you know, the beauty is in the eye of the beholder. So it's not just the eye. Eye means the consciousness. It's just the bhakti. If we have more bhakti, we can see more beauty. Pretty much directly proportional, in one sense. Otherwise, can the Lord or his devotees can give mercy and suddenly one sees the beauty of the Lord. For example, the Dandadas, we know the pastime of Ramanujacharya, where the Dandadas was completely attracted to a woman. The whole Harinam party was going on, led by Ramanujacharya. He was not attracted. Then Ramanujacharya notices this person who is just embracing his girlfriend, and he's, you know, the whole procession is going, but he is completely oblivious to the whole situation. Then he says, you know, calls this person and asks, you know, what is that attracts in your girlfriend? He said, you know, those eyes. Okay, fine. So you come tomorrow, 6 o'clock, to Srirangam, to the temple. So this guy comes and shows him with the lamp, because that there is no electric lamp. So the arati was going on. So when the pujari was doing the lamp, so when he saw the eyes of the Lord, Ranganath, when he saw the eyes, immediately he understood these eyes are more attractive than his girlfriend's. Then he lost all the attraction for material life and he became a devotee. And he did a lot of service for Ramanujacharya, became one of the chief disciples. So there is an instance where the devotee's mercies directly came upon Dandadas and he suddenly got attracted to the beautiful form of the Lord. So initially he may not have any attraction, but so it's a gradual development for us. We may not, if we don't feel attracted to the beautiful form of the Lord, for example, we had to develop our bhakti. We have some attraction, so it's a matter of development. Like Rupa Goswami, I told in the verse of Rupa Goswami, Smeram Bhangitraya Parajadam Sachi Visthirna Drishti. So he's seeing all beauty in the form of the Lord. So it's a matter of time. Any? Yes, Ru, you had a question?
Thank you.
the forms of you, Narasimha or Mohini. Narasimha form is eternal form. There are two things that I have understood. One is in the Vaikuntha planet, the Lord may not be in the half man, half land form. He may be in the four-handed Vishnu form in this particular planet. Still, it is his name is Narasimha. So that is one thing that I have heard from different devotees. So it is eternal in the sense this form is eternally residing in the Lord. Say, for example, if you see Karanadakshaya Vishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, Kshirodakshaya Vishnu, we can see one is manifesting from the previous. So the Kshirodakshaya Vishnu is eternally residing in Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. In that sense, he is there. Similarly, the Garbhadakshaya Vishnu is eternally residing in Karanadakshaya Vishnu or Mahavishnu. So they are there. It's not manifested, but still it is considered eternal. So that is one kind of looking at it. On the other sense, in Brihad Bhagavata Amrita, they say even in the Vaikuntha planet, that is half man, half land form is present. It is there. So that description is also there. So even if you see in both ways, the form of the Lord as, you know, Narasimha is eternal. From a perspective of Brihad Bhagavata Amrita, or, you know, if you see from Bhagavatam first canto, if you see the cover, if you see the Vaikuntha Lokas, you can see Narasimha planet, but Narasimha is not in a half lion, half man form. So even if you look at both ways, still the form of the Lord is eternal. Any final questions? Okay. Grantharashima Bhagavatam ki, Shila Prabhupada ki.